Welcome to the MPC Podcast. I am Tim W. Gill, pastor of Medora Pentecostal Church, and I'm thrilled that you've joined us today. Here at MPC, we are committed to bringing hope and building lives. One way we do that is through this podcast. Thank you for listening, for sharing and reviewing what we do here. It is our desire to connect with you, and you can find us on Facebook, or you can find us at our website, medorachurch.com. It is our prayer that today's message inspires you, encourages you, and that the kingdom of God is advanced in your life. Let's get right to the word of the Lord today.
If you turn to Matthew 21, where we're going to start our study today, and we're going to be in a bit of a teaching, but we could venture off into some Sunday night-esque. So what we had going earlier, that worship and that praise we had going earlier, just hang on to that mentality and that mode just for a minute, just for maybe a couple minutes. And we're going to get right back to that, all right? We're gonna teach and we're going to study and we're going to walk through this and we're going to go right back to that point is my prayer this morning. Matthew 21, 15 and 16. When the chief priests and the scribes saw the wonderful things that he did, and the children crying in the temple and saying, "Hosanna, the son of David," they were sore displeased and said unto him, "Hearest thou what they say?" And Jesus said unto them, "Yea, have you never heard? Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings thou hast perfected praise." Jesus, don't you hear what they're saying? And Jesus says, "Ain't you never heard? The babes and the sucklings will perfect praise." So this morning, for just a little while, I want to talk about a story of perfect praises. A story of perfect praises. Let's pray right now. God, we thank you for an opportunity to be here for your word. I pray, oh God, that you would anoint each and every heart to be ready to receive your word. Anoint this vessel, God, for it is your glory, it is your honor. God, that I pray these words would be in time, that they would be the words needed to hear, to spark, to change, to add, to edify, Lord, in this place this morning. We praise you and we thank you, Jesus. Amen. A story of perfect praises. You can be seated. Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, you have perfected praise. Right. Think about this with me for a minute. How can a baby or a child have a perfect praise? Right. If you've ever heard a praise that comes from a child, what do you think of? Perfection, on key, pitch is perfect. Right. It's not too loud. Whew. Oh, come on now. Let's loosen up a little bit. What do you think of when you think of a child's praise, a baby's praise? It's loud. We can all say it. Sometimes it's obnoxious. Sometimes it's a bit too much, isn't it? I wouldn't think immediately, and I'll just say for my kids, so I'm not pointing any other fingers. When I see my kids worship, it's beautiful. But sometimes I'm like, it's a bit much. It's a bit much. Those moves there. Little much, maybe. But God says it's perfect. That's how you perfect praise. So what does that look like? What exactly? Let's dig a little further into that. They're not on pitch. They're not on the right key. They're not jumping in the right time. They're not clapping at the right time. They're not even singing the right song sometimes. But it's perfect. It's perfect. What do you think of when you think of your perfect praise? Is it on key? Is it in time? Is it just right? Is it doctrinally and theologically perfect when I open up my mouth to give my oration for God? My perfect praise is raw. My perfect praise has no filter. My perfect praise comes before him, and others might think, it's a little much. But you know what? To him, it's perfect. It's perfect. It's beautiful. The only perfect praise is the praise that comes out your mouth. The only imperfect praise. There are two types of imperfect praises. The one that never comes out. Shocker. And the second one is the one that's not directed properly. The praise that's really praising me. The praise that's really for your neighbor. The praise that says, well, I got to be on part because LeBannon's, he's got to be impressed with my singing. My singing. The praise that says, I got to do just this right fill when I'm in the drums because everybody's watching. I want Austin to see what I can do. That's a misdirected praise. That praise ain't for God. That praise is for Austin or LeBannon or whoever you're thinking about and whoever you're filtering that praise for. That praise that's supposed to go to God is really going to them. That's a misdirected praise. The only perfect praise that you have is the praise that is available. The praise that comes out. The praise that goes forth. Psalms 8 and 2, I'm reading in the ESV. It may look different. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Whew. That praise, it's maybe a bit too much. That's the one that's going to silence the enemy. My oration and my beautiful theologically doctrinal prayers ain't going to do it. My prayers that come out and says, I don't care what it sounds like. I don't care what it looks like. That's the one that will silence him. That's the one that will tear him down. Now, I want to break a couple words down in this verse. When we look at that word to silence, I'm just going to read the parts of it here. It is to cease. It is to desist. It is to cut off. It is to interrupt. It is to make fail. That's what your perfect praise, your imperfect looking perfect praise, that's what it does to the enemy. It shuts him off. He's in mid-sentence. I am going to praise the Lord. And he's shut down. Knocked to his knees, knocked out on his back. Now, when we look at established here, so it says you have established a stronghold against your enemies, this praise of infants and children. To establish is to found, to make firm, to cause to multiply. So not only do I silence the enemy with my imperfect looking perfect praise, but I make sure it's going to stay that way. Not only do I knock him down, he's going to stay down. Not only am I putting him on his back and giving myself the victory through my praise in Jesus, it's going to stay that way. Your praise knocks the enemy down. It says, stay there. Your praise knocks fear on its back and it says, stay down. It knocks lust down. And it says, you best stay down. It takes anxiety and it says, you get back up, you're going to be scared of me this time. So your praise that looks imperfect establishes and makes to multiply. So what's that mean? It's going to happen again. Fear, do you see what happened to anxiety? You step on up, there's going to be more. Do you see what's happening here? You come in my family, there's going to be more of that. It establishes, it multiplies. If I'm having some trouble with some enemies, praise is the way I will make sure they fail. Praise will make the failure of my enemy advances. Through childlike praises, the stronghold against the enemy is destroyed. We're made solid against the enemy with praise like child. Praise is like a child has no filter. Praise is like a child doesn't make sense sometimes. Praise is like a child. You may not say the right things, but you direct it to the right one. And that's all that matters. It doesn't matter what my opinions are of my praise. And I'll be quite frank, we're family. But quite frank, I don't care what your opinions of my praise are. I ain't got moves, and I'm okay with that. But I got moves for the King. My worship's for the King. That ain't for your opinions. What I do for the King is for victory. It ain't for people pleasing. I worship the King, not you. I love you, but I worship the King because he's the one that gives me victory. We see a good example of this imperfect looking perfect praise in 2 Samuel chapter 6, where we're jumping into the story here. The Ark of the Covenant has been gone from Israel for over 20 years. They were defeated. It was taken. It resided in Kirjath-Jearim. And for so long, the presence of God had left that place. It was gone. They couldn't feel it. They couldn't see it. They couldn't rely on it. They weren't winning victories because of it. It was gone. Well, then we jump in 2 Samuel 6. And it's coming back. It's making its way back in the camp. And let's look at how David reacted. Verse 16, and as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, David's wife, and I'm reading from the Amplified, looked down from the window above and saw King David leaping and dancing before the Lord. And she felt contempt in her heart because she thought him undignified. That's not how a king ought to act, David. So she confronts him about it. We look at verses 17 through 20, and they have a little discussion, if you will, a little heated rebuttal. Michal says, that's ridiculous, David. Are you kidding me? You're embarrassing not only yourself, but your house and my father's house. You ought not act like that. We jump to verse 21, and David responds. Now, what do you think his response, what do you think our response might be? If I made a fool of myself in the street for the Lord, am I going to be embarrassed? Maybe. Maybe. Naturally, let's like carnally, let's be honest. You can look at yourself all you want and say, no way, I'd be so excited to even the more. But he's out in the middle of the street in the country that he resides over. And his wife looks down on him, which is kind of funny in itself. She looks down on him physically and proverbially and says, are you kidding me, David? Honey, you got to be kidding me. Did you see yourself? And David says in verse 21, I will celebrate the Lord. This ain't for you, Michal. This worship ain't for you, honey. 22, I will become even more undignified than this. And I will be humiliated in my own eyes. But by these slave girls you spoke of, I will be held in honor. If you think that's something, boy, you watch this. You hold my water and you watch this. You think that was crazy. It's crazy because it ain't for you. It's crazy because I could give two cares what you think. This is for the king. This is because the presence of God has come back in the camp. The presence of God has come back in my family. My family's been restored. My body's been healed. I don't care what you think because I'm excited. This may look ugly to you, but it ain't for you. It's for the king. The presentation of your praise to God is more important than the appearance of that praise. The what, not the way that you present it, it's just that you present it. The only thing that perfects your praise is that it's available. Here it is. Now, I would like to walk through a story about Jehoshaphat, and I want to illustrate some of these things about perfect praises. Praises when it's inconvenient. Praises when it may not be the first thing you react to. It came to pass after this also, 2 Chronicles 20, that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them other besides the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, there comes a great multitude against you from beyond the sea of this side, Syria. And behold, they be in Hazon Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. Turn to somebody and say, he was surrounded. Turn to the other side and say, and he was scared. There was a great multitude. And he was scared. He seen the enemy surrounding him. He felt the attack of the enemy was imminent. He felt what was going to happen. And he started to fear. What am I going to do? So what was his reaction? Fear led him to praise and seek the Lord. Which I would say emotionally probably wasn't his first option. His first option was get my ship. I'm out of here. I'm speaking candidly. I don't know Jehoshaphat personally. A real praise unto God most of the time will be right after a temptation. It will most of the time be inconvenient. It will most of the time maybe not be the first thing you think about, but it will be the most important thing that you can do. When we praise, I wonder how often the attacks in our lives are focused on stealing the praise that we have to offer towards God. Well, if I can just surround him, that'll shut him up. If I can surround him with fear or anxiety or all these things that's going on, well, then that will shut his praise and that will cease the glory that God gets. If I can just surround him, I will steal God's praise. When we praise, we acknowledge that this battle is not about me. It's about way more than just me. That's where we get caught up sometimes. We see this battle and this host that is surrounding us. We feel all these things, and we think it's bigger than us, and it is. Yes. But that's not the full story. That's not the whole picture. When we praise God, we acknowledge that this is bigger than us. I don't have to fight this fight. I just have to call on the one who will fight it for me. The battle is more than about me. Praise acknowledges that this is bigger than me. In Jehoshaphat's moment of greatest tribulation, he practices what the psalmist will scribe in 56:3. What time I am afraid, I will trust in you. In God, I will praise his word. In God have I put my trust. In the moments of tribulation, Jehoshaphat's fear propelled him to search for the Lord. And I love that it says, what time I am afraid. There will be times I am afraid. There will be times you are afraid. But when that happens, I'm not sitting down. I'm not going to stop my praises. When I'm afraid, I will go to the king. When I'm afraid, I'm going to go into his presence. When I'm afraid, I'm going to phone a friend and say, God, I need your help. This is way bigger than me. Continuing again in 2 Chronicles 20, picking right up where we left off, verse 4. And Judah gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord, and Jehoshaphat stood in the congregation of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord before the new court. We're aware, Judah signifies praise. So I want to look at something very specific in this verse. Even out of all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. He did not get a quiet praise out in the corner. He did not offer up a little hushed, oh, Lord, help me, I'm surrounded. Oh, man, I don't know what to do. He got all the cities of Judah together. Judah's praise. He got every praise that was in his camp. He got every single praise that was available to him and said, God, we need some help. How often do we gather one or two houses in Judah? Maybe a village in Judah. Maybe I offer a praise to God that's slightly audible. Maybe I offer a praise to God that gives maybe 30, 40 minutes of fasting. That'll be sufficient. Jehoshaphat wasn't looking to mess around with what would be enough. He came in and said, I'm giving him everything. I'm gathering every single praise that I have, and I'm going to give it. Maybe it's over the top. Maybe it's too much. Maybe they'll laugh at me. Maybe they'll be like, come on, Jeho. What are you doing? You don't need everybody. You just need you and the priest. Come on now. But Jehoshaphat said, I'm getting everybody. I'm making sure we're going to search the Lord, and we have every single ounce of help we have from Jehovah that is available. This ain't about seeing how little praise I can get away with. Well, let's see. How big's my enemy? How many praises do I? How long do I need to spend in prayer? Let's see. I've been struggling with this for how long? How many praises do I need? How many hours? Pastor, could you give me a prescription? I've been struggling for something. How often do I need to pray? How much do I need to fast? But Jehoshaphat came in and said, I'll give you every single family in Judah together in the courts of the Lord. Every single one. I'm not holding back. Then notice, he gathered all of his praises where? Not out for fellowship. Not that there's anything wrong with fellowship. I'll take an invitation. He didn't gather at the house. They didn't go out somewhere quiet. They all came into the courts of the temple. He gathered his praises together and got to the house of the Lord. He said, not only am I gathering every single praise, but I'm going to get it in the house of the Lord. Psalms 104, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. I'm getting every praise I can gather, and I'm getting in the house of the Lord. The king of Judah is surrounded. Remember, he's still surrounded. He's still in trouble. He may still, in fact, fear. But he says, I'm gathering every praise, and I'm getting into the courts. Because if I can get in the presence of the Lord, it doesn't matter if I fear. If I can get in the presence of the Lord, that fear will leave. It can't go with me. If I can get in the presence of the Lord with my praises, the victory will ensue. Amen. Still surrounded. Still looks ugly. But I'm getting in the presence of the Lord. It still is not a victory. But Jehoshaphat knows, with all of Judah in the courts of the Lord, it's about to be. It's about to be. So from verses 5 to 14, still in 2 Chronicles 20, we see as they're praying, Their praises are gathered. They're in his presence. They're all praying. And I'm not going to read all those verses. You can take a sigh of relief. But I am going to summarize some of them. They were coming together, magnifying his glory. They were coming together, saying things like, "You are the one who sits on the kingdom of all kingdoms. You're the one that rules the entire earth. You're the one that can deliver us out of the hand of these enemies. You're the one, God. You're the only one. There's no one beside you." And I'm paraphrasing now. There's no one beside you. There ain't nobody that can beat you. We don't care how big the host is. You are glorious. You are wonderful. You're full of majesty. You're the great one. And then, verse 12, I really like the way they said that. "For we have no might against this great company that comes." We can't do it, Lord. We can't. I can't. I don't have the might. "Neither know we what to do." Not only can I not do it, I don't have a clue what to do. Does anybody feel like that sometimes? You're in the middle of a fight. You said, "I can't beat it. I don't know what to do. I don't even know where to start." "But our eyes are upon thee." Not only are all the praises gathered together, but they're in the presence of God and they're focused. They come together with a focus that says, "My eye is upon you. For we have no might against this great company that comes against us. Neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon you." We can't win this fight. We're just looking at you. Lord, I don't know what to do, so I'm just looking at you. I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to get all my praises gathered and get ready to get in your presence and get my eyes on you. And then we read things that says, you know, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you." So what once caused me to fear now leads me into his presence, and where his presence is, and I'm focused on him and I have praises. What was I even worried about? What happened? I'm in perfect peace. Oh, there's a multitude. Okay. But my eyes are on the one who sits above every kingdom. And that leads us to verse 14. "The Spirit of the Lord," so they're all gathered, they're praying, they're glorifying God, their eyes are set on him. And now in verse 14, "The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel," who was a Levite. So he was of the lineage of the Levites. He was a priest. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. I'm just going to lead you to this water trough. Sometimes when you're fearful, when you're surrounded, when you're right in the middle of the battle and you're praying and you're worshiping and you're in his presence, you're glorifying him. Sometimes the word of the Lord will come to the priest. It ain't coming to you. It's going to come to pastor or bishop, Pastor David. It's going to come to them. And what happens? What happens if Jehoshaphat comes up and says, "Listen, Jahaziel, pipe it down, man. We're looking for the Lord. We're looking for a word from the Lord." But the word of the Lord came to the priest. And Jehoshaphat had to submit to the word of the Lord that came to the priest, not to him. The direction for the victory, the battle plan for the victory didn't go to him. Didn't go to anybody in that room, but for the priest, for the man of God. So when the man of God in your life comes to you and offers you some suggestions on victory, I would take it. I would listen very closely, because the victory lies sometimes in the submission to the word of your pastor. There's that water trough. Continuing, 2 Chronicles 20. And he said, so this is the priest speaking, Jahaziel, "Hearken ye all Judah and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and now King Jehoshaphat. Thus saith the Lord unto you, be not afraid or dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Tomorrow go down against them. Behold, they come up from the cliff of Ziz, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight this battle. Set yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, and the Lord will be with you." Don't worry. God steps in and says, "I'll tag in. This is my fight. You've acknowledged me, you've praised me, you've been glorifying me, you gathered every praise you had, I'm in. Don't worry about this host, because I'm here. I'm here." Then the Lord tells them exactly where to find them. Notice they were praying before. We don't know where to start. The word of the Lord comes and says, "Go to Cliff of Zig by the brook. That's where you'll find the enemy, and just hold tight. Hold tight and watch the salvation of the Lord." Stand still. Watch me work. So often I think we get caught up and we praise and we worship and we want to do it ourselves. And this is pot calling kettle black here, so no worries. But we get in and we get this word and we're like, okay, they're at the cliff of Zig. I'm off. Here I go. I'll take care of it, Lord. I'll confront them. But God told them to do what? Just go look. Just watch. Go to this location and wait. Go to this location and wait. So then what did they do? Verse 20, they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. As they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear ye, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, and ye shall prosper. Remember that whole thing about believing the word from the man of God, and you'll prosper? Moving forward. And when the Lord had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of his holiness. And they went out before the army and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. When they began to sing and praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which were come against Judah. And they were smitten. Believe in him. Believe the word of his prophets, and you will be victorious. You will win. Just believe in him. You don't have to pick up a sword unless he tells you to pick up a sword. And I love that the king appointed singers and worshipers to go before the army, which to me is a little humorous, because they praised and they worshiped and they gathered how much of the praise? All the praise. Every single house in Judah, come on in the house of the Lord. He gathered every single praise he had. But then the Lord told him he had the victory. Go, stand still, and watch the salvation of the Lord. And then what happened? Jehoshaphat said, you know what? Just for a little cherry on top, we'll send the worshipers before the army. Just for a little extra praise, I'll send the singers out. Because I don't know that he had to. We're just questioning it together here. I don't know that he had to, because he already had the assurance of the victory. His praise had already brought the victory, but that led him to praise more. And then what were they instructed to do? They were instructed to sing about the beauty of his holiness. They were instructed to sing, God, you're so good. Man, you're so wonderful. I praise you in the beauty of your holiness, because you are wonderful. And some choice wording here. When they began to sing and to praise, then the Lord sent ambushments to destroy the enemy. When the praise started, the beatdown of the Lord ensued. When the praise starts in your life, that's when the victories in your life will begin. You may have the assurance of it, but when you begin to praise even more, that's when the victory begins. When you begin to pour out praise in the middle, and remember the picture here, they're still surrounded. They're still looking like they're going to lose. They're still surrounded by a great multitude. The battle don't look great still, but God said, I got it. So you may praise and you may worship and you may have the promise of victory, but it still may not look great. But what are we to do? Praise. Praise more. And when that praise comes in the middle of your enemy, when that praise comes facing the host that is surrounding you, that's when the victory comes. An ambush, another word I want to look at real quick, the ambush. So the Lord sent ambushments against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. Ambushments. To ambush is to what? To attack out of surprise. To attack from a hidden place. Now remember, a great multitude surrounded Judah. They're facing an enemy that they're hopeless to defeat without God, helpless to stand against. And the battle looked at its worst. If you will, when David strolled out to meet Goliath, everything looked worst. Because you're like, man, that guy's tall. Man, that shepherd's small. Are we sure about this? We're going to be slaves forever. It looked its worst. But then, out of nowhere, from a hidden place, they were ambushed. The very enemy. Hold on, I'm getting ahead of myself. When the battle looked its worst, out of nowhere, they were ambushed. They were destroyed. Verse 23, for the children of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir, utterly destroy them and to slay them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, everyone helped to destroy another. Tell me God don't have a sense of humor. They helped to destroy one another. So the army that was sent to destroy them helped when the praises came to destroy one another. Tell me God don't have a sense of humor. And when Judah came toward the watchtower in the wilderness and looked toward the great multitude, and behold, there were dead bodies falling on the earth and none escaped. The very enemy that has come to destroy you, when your praises come, will destroy itself. What the enemy meant for evil, God will turn it good. The very thing that comes in your life to destroy you, when your praises are lifted up, will destroy itself. Will destroy itself. I love the parallel also we see here as they got to the watchtower, right? They got to the watchtower and they looked. Psalm 91. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at their right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. Stand and watch my salvation, says the Lord. There's going to be thousands fall. They're going to help destroy one another, and you're just going to watch. Because I'm the Lord, and when I'm on your side, you don't have to fight. You just need to connect with me. He gave Judah a front row seat to see the destruction of the wicked. And when Jehoshaphat and his people, reading from 25 and 26 to 2 Chronicles 20, they came to take away the spoil of them. They found among them in abundance both riches. They found riches with the dead bodies and precious jewels when they stripped off for themselves more than they could carry as they were 3 days in gathering of the spoil. It was so much, says the word. It was so much. It took them 3 days to gather all the spoils because it was so much. And on the fourth day, they assembled themselves in the valley of Bechrach. And they blessed the Lord. Therefore, the name of that same place was called the Valley of Bechrach unto this day. The spoils of the enemy that God delivered into their hand gave them spoils enough that it took them 3 days. Can you imagine having such a spoil and treasure in front of you that you just had to go get? And it took you 3 days, full days, all day. That's all you're doing, picking up jewels, picking up treasures. 3 days. How much gold do you figure you could carry in 3 days? How many diamonds do you think you can carry in 3 days? I'm thinking a whole lot. A whole bunch. So I want to make this connection here. Where did those jewels come from? From the enemy, right? Now, double check me with me here. That's the same enemy that was there to destroy them, right? That's the same attack that came to destroy at their front door. So the very enemy that came to destroy them ended up blessing them for 3 days beyond measure. When they did what? They praised. The very thing that's meant to destroy you, that comes right to your front door and says, I'm going to destroy you. I'm going to destroy your family. You're going to lose your job. You're going to lose your sanity. You're going to lose all this stuff. I'm going to destroy you. When I praise, not only is he defeated, but he defeats himself. The sword that's turned on me turns on to him. And then he brought the treasure to me. Thank you. Thank you, enemy, for bringing all those diamonds from all the sea of Mount Seir and Ammon, all these great places. You brought them to me. I appreciate that. You practically put them in my house for me. So when fear and all these things come knocking at your door and your praises come up, that treasure that comes out of that victory, that battle, it was just God bringing the treasure to you. It was just God bringing treasure to Jehoshaphat. So the battle you're facing is just God bringing the treasure. It says, if you'll praise me, I brought 3 days worth of treasure just for you to pick up. You don't have to sling a sword. You don't have to go fight them. Just go and face them and praise me and you will pick up treasure for days. And I know you were wondering, we're in suspense. The name of that place was called the Valley of Bechrach unto this day. Any thoughts on what that means? It translates to the Valley of Blessings. Blessings. where they were supposed to be destroyed, wiped off the face of the earth. God took it from the valley of death and turned it to the valley of blessings. God took it from a valley where they were supposed to be laying there pulseless, and now they're picking up treasure for 3 days. So the very thing that's come to destroy you will take it from where it's supposed to be evil, and God will turn it to the valley of blessings. Not just the valley of victory. See this with me here. Not just am I going to win, but this is now called the valley of blessings. Not only is the enemy going to be embarrassed and destroyed and kill himself, but the place where he came against me, I'm going to call it the valley of blessings. And you know what a valley is, right? It's a broad depression in landscape, right? It's a low, shadowy place that's cold, clammy, dark most of the time. God takes the places in our lives that are dark, that are depressed, that are low, that are shadowy, that are lonely, that we're faced with enemies. And he says, I will call that the valley of blessings. I will turn it in your life just with your praises so that it's the valley of blessings, not the valley of defeat. Can you stand with me, please? Now, we got one more section to connect. We're not quite done. Then we're going right back to praise. 2 Chronicles 27, 28, 29, and 30. They returned every man of Judah and Jerusalem and Jehoshaphat in the forefront of them to go again to Jerusalem with joy, for the Lord had made them to rejoice over their enemies. And they came to Jerusalem with psalteries and harps and trumpets unto the house of the Lord. Now, where'd they go after? Before they got the victory, they went where? House of God. Where'd they go after they got the victory? Straight to the house of God. And the fear of the Lord was on all the kingdoms of those countries where they had heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet. God gave him rest roundabout. What started with Jehoshaphat surrounded. What started with him fearing what may happen. What started with him not knowing what to do. Being attacked. Being surrounded. Ends the story with the fear of the Lord establishing him in peace all around him. What starts with fear creeping into your life with your praise will be flipped around, and fear will exude to your enemies from you. You will show the enemies around you the fear of the Lord is here. God gave Jehoshaphat rest and made the area quiet. But what had to happen first? There had to be a fight. There had to be some praise. There had to be some worship. So often we want to skip to the end. We want to just relax and chill and come in and say, oh yeah, we got rest. We know the King. Woo, amen. But there was a fight. But through that fight, through the praise, through the great multitude that came against him, God gave him rest. And that every nation around him feared the Lord. I want to encourage you, your praise will cause there to be rest in your home. Your praise will cause there to be rest in your mind, on your job site. It will give you victory, but it'll also give you rest. It'll give you peace. It'll give you a deep, settled knowledge. When I lift up my hands and I praise the King, not only is there victory, but there is rest. So there are no perfect praises. There are no perfect praisers, only perfect praises. Jehoshaphat wasn't perfect, but he knew how to worship. And he knew that if I got this victory, it's going to come by worship. Unfiltered, ugly, maybe you don't like it, maybe you think it's too much. That's how we get our victory. Do you want your victory this morning? I encourage you, it comes with some messy praise. It comes with some praise that might get your tie a little bit out of whack. It may get your hair a little bit out of whack. But your praises will give you the victory. Your praises will seal the rest that surrounds you. So right now, can we lift up our hands? God, right now, I pray that there would be a praise rising up in each and every heart. I pray there'd be a praise rising up in the camp right now. God, when there is fear in minds, when there is anxiety in minds, when there is frustration, when there is depression, when there is lust, when there is all these things, the great multitude surrounding us, God, our praises will rise. And not only will we be victorious by the perfect praises that we exude, by the messy praises, the ugly praises, the out of rhythm praises, the off pitch, the off key, the praises that we give, God will not only give us the victory, but they will give us spoils. They will give us rest. They will give us hope. They will give us, God, they will establish and multiply this stronghold that you have created. God, right now, I encourage you, if you have a need, come and start praising. It don't matter if anybody else is moving, because this is about you and God. God, I've been struggling in my mind. I don't know where to start. I don't know what to say. But all I know is to lift my hands and say, hallelujah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great is he. Hallelujah. Wonderful is he. He is the one who will deliver me out of the snare and out of the fowler. He is the one that gives me victory. He is the one that will settle my heart in this current calamity. He is the one that will take the valley of destruction in my life and turn it to the valley of blessings, and turn it to the valley while I collect treasures from the enemy. You are the one, Lord. You're the only one seated high and on a throne. You're the only one, God, that we will praise and we will worship. God, you are.
Thank you for listening to the MPC podcast. We trust that today's message has inspired you, encouraged you, and strengthened you in the Lord. We would like to invite you to join us again by simply subscribing to our podcast, and we encourage you to write a review if it has been a blessing to you. Again, you can find us at medorachurch.com to learn more about our ministry.